I thank God for this church. As we celebrate these ministries, it's kind of creating awareness for us to know, like Pastor said, that these are avenues through which, you know, we serve God. Because when we get involved in all these ministries, we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And the welfare prison and hospital ministries, they are kind of silent ministry. They are not ministries, you know, you hear in the church. They are kind of hidden. But their work is mighty. Praise the Lord. Like we said, the theme is from Proverbs 28, 27, New King James Version. And it says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. So if you give to the poor, God said, you will be blessed, but will not lack. The title of my message today is Unconditional Giving is the key to receiving our blessing. Unconditional. I didn't say giving. I said unconditional giving is the key to receive our blessings. It's not when you give and then you expect to receive something. But when you give unconditionally, like just like Christ gave us. I mean, the gift God gave us is an unconditional gift. A gift that none of us deserve. But he graciously and compassionately gave it to us. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible has talked a lot about helping the poor. Christ spoke a lot about it. God spoke a lot about it in the Old Testament. Paul, Peter, every one of them. Remember when Paul went to Jerusalem after his encounter with Jesus Christ? He went to Jerusalem to introduce himself to the disciples over there. He met Peter, John, and the rest of them. He said he wanted to make sure that what he's teaching or what he was teaching was in line with what they were teaching, so that he will not teach the wrong thing. But there was one particular thing that was mentioned there, and that was in Galatians 2:10. When Peter told Paul, he says, Paul says their only concern or their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor. And Paul says, which I have always been eager to do. Which I have always been eager to do. Are we eager to do that? Does it touch us to help the poor? I'm going to talk about giving. When we talk about giving, there are so many things to give. It's not just money. There are three things common in this three ministries, the welfare, hospital, and prisons. They are very related. You saw when all three of them came and spoke, their language was like gearing towards the same thing. But the first thing is that The ministerial overseer of prison and the hospital happens to be Pastor Uche Ezanya. And the ministerial overseer for welfare happens to be myself. So these two ministries are married. These three, they are married together. Praise the Lord. So they are inseparable. They are married together. They are together. And then another thing we notice concerning these three ministries is that when you think about welfare, we think about love. We think about giving. We think about caring. When you think about hospital, you think about caring. You think about giving. And you think about loving. When you think about prisons, you think about the same thing. Loving, giving, caring. My message today is going to be just 45 minutes, because we're going to use 15 minutes to watch a video. A video of this young man that was sentenced to 99 years in prison at the age of, I think, 21 or 22 years. You will see the handwork of God. And this will tell you how important it is to go and witness to all these people that are in the prison. There are two Bible passages that are kind of connected to these three ministries. And I think one of them talked about it. I think my brother, the prison ministry, talked about it. It's in Matthew 25, 34 to 40, Amplified Version. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God, appointed to eternal salvation, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How would you like to recognize to be recognized this way? You are blessed. You are blessed by the Father. You are asked to inherit the kingdom. And then you have been appointed to eternal, you know, salvation. So inherit the kingdom. That was prepared for you. And then we'll see why. Verse 35. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. 36. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. With help and ministering care. So when you go to the hospital, you help them. Sometimes when you go over there, you see someone, probably his or her family has never visited him or her. While you are there, you might help her with certain things. You can minister to her. Again, in that movie, you will see what changed the life of this young man. I was in prison, and he came to me. Ignoring personal danger, like our brother said, There are dangers there because you are going to minister to criminals, some of them. But he says, ignoring all those obstacles, all those difficulties, because of what? Because of your concern, because you care for them, because of the love you have for them. By the way, when I talk about love, I'm talking about agape love. 37. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You realize that these righteous people didn't even know what they were doing. They were doing it because of the love they have for them. They didn't know as they were doing it for Christ. So when we give to the poor, we are giving to Christ. I don't know if some of you have experienced this. When you give something to the poor, the first thing they say to you, God bless you. Right? They begin to wonder. They tell you, God bless you. Because they know ordinarily they cannot do it. It is the love of God. Paul said it is the love of God compels him to do something. When you begin to experience the love of Christ, when you begin to see the love of Christ, that will motivate you to do things. For it, then the king will answer and say to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine. Now, Christ said they are brothers of mine. They are brothers of mine. He says, even the least of them, you did it for me. Praise the Lord. See, God wants us to be the channel of blessings to people. That's what it means. He wants us to be the channel of blessings. God cannot come down here and start giving things to them. But he is going to bless you so that you be a blessing to them. That's what he told Abraham. We are going to get to that. So when God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 and 2, he told Abraham to go to a place where he would change his destiny. He said, you will not be what you used to be because I am going to bless you and make you great so that you will be a blessing to others. Abraham obeyed. But he made a big mistake by taking his cousin Lot with him. And Lot caused him lots of problems. So it is very important when God asks us to do something, we follow it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will touch you. I went about last week. I went to send my dress to dry cleaner, and as I was coming out, I only have $4 in my pocket. As I was coming out, a young man, well-dressed, he even dressed more than I dressed. And he was driving a car. This U-Haul pickup, brand new U-Haul pickup. And he drove and stopped right in front of me. I thought he was going to ask me for direction. And then next to me, there was a gas station. And then he said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, can I help you? I don't have gas. I don't have money for gas. Can you give me $2? And then I looked at him. I was going to say no. I don't have $2. Because I only had $4. And I already He said, what I'm going to do with the $4. So I said, okay. So I gave him the $2. And then I expected him to stop right at the gas station there to get the gas. But he drove off. And then my mind started telling me, why did you do that? You know, why did you do that? Why did you give him that money? And he's going to use that money for something else. But don't worry about what they use that money for. Once the Spirit touches you to give, you should give. Praise the Lord. So let's read about that, the Genesis 12, 1 to Ham. So now in Haran, the Lord has said to Abraham, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. You see, when we read this, we think, you know, it was very easy for Abraham. I'm telling you, focusing on the condition he was, I know it wouldn't have been easy for him to leave his parents, a place where he grew up, a place where he stayed for long, to a land, a place where he didn't know. I remember that Abraham was a heathen. I'm not too sure, but I believe that was his first encounter with God. But the Bible said what? He obeyed. He didn't say, oh, well, let me discuss this with my dad. But he obeyed. And God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly, and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. A source. He said, I'm going to bless you, and my blessing for you will overflow to others. I will bless you to the extent that you'll be able to bless others. And I'm telling you, some of us here have been blessed enough to bless others. As we go down, if I don't finish this sermon today, I'll continue Sunday. But as we go down, we'll see why it's so difficult for some people not to give. After God has blessed us, we still don't want to help. So God said, Abraham, the only condition for me to bless you is if you change your location and go to where I want to take you. There I will bless you, and I want you to be a blessing to others. There was this man at Nnewi, an old man, you know, in Igbo land, in some part of Igbo land, when they want to break kola nut. So the oldest man will pray, bless the kola nut, and break the kola nut. That's in some part of Igbo land. Some places, the old man will just pray, and then they give it to the younger child to break and then distribute. So this old man will say, God, may you bless people that have the heart to give. Because when you bless them and give to them, they will distribute their wealth to others. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what God told Abraham. And that's what God expected from Abraham. And this is what God expected from us. Do you know that the same situation Abraham was in is the same situation we are right now? Because God says that the blessings of Abraham is ours. All those promises of Abraham, they all belong to us. No different. No different. Abraham had a hard time leaving his parents. And look at what Matthew 10:34 is saying about us. Message. What Christ is saying in the Message version, he says, "Don't think I've come to make life cozy." What's cozy? Comfortable. He said, "Don't you think," Message translation, "don't you think I've come to make life cozy? I have come to cut. Make a sharp knife. Cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God." And free us from God. It says, well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. All those family members you trust, your hope is on. He said, they will turn out to be your enemies because of me. Because once you choose Christ, as long as those people are in the world, they are your enemies, so to say, because they won't understand your perspective. They won't understand whatever you are talking about. Your thinking will be completely different from their own thinking. He says, "If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me." So if Abraham had made that choice, a negative choice, not going to where God has ordered him to go, or commanded him to go, or told him to go, and said, "No, I'd rather stay with my parents," then he wouldn't have deserved what he got. Or he wouldn't have gotten what he got. "If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me." He said, we need to change our location. If you are here, you are not born again, you need to change your location. The Bible said that once we were in darkness, and now we are in light. For you to receive all those blessings, you have to change your location. Abraham had to change his own location to another location, a location where God wanted him to be, before he was able to receive his blessings. Ephesians 5:8 says, NLT, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." So our location changes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is when we become born again. Praise the Lord. Another Bible passage. Well, let me read this passage. Galatians 3:29. NLT says, "And now that you belong to Christ," it says, "and now that you belong to Christ," that is before. So if there's a now, there must be a before. So before, we didn't belong to Christ. Says you are the true. Let me start again. "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So like I said, all the promises of Abraham belong to us too, through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And what was his promise? He said, I will make you a great nation and I make your name great. So your name is great. Once you are in Christ, your name is great. I will bless you and you will be a source of blessing to others. So we all have been blessed to be a source of blessing to others. So why are we not experiencing our blessings? Let's look at Genesis 13, 14, 17. Remember when I said, when God told Abraham to move, to leave his parents, to leave his country, Abraham took his cousin Lot. And that really affected the blessings God was about to pour on him. Much as he was blessed, because the Bible told us that Abraham has a lot of, you know, cattle, and even Lot too. But see what happened right after Lot departed. Genesis 13, 14. It says, after Lot had gone. So when Lot left, you know, Lot was blocking his blessings. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can. See in every direction, north, south, east, and west. I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. That was after Lot departed. So as long as we have Lot, Mr. Lot, on our side, our blessings are blocked. And some of those Lots on our side are bitterness, telling lies, anger, harsh words. And the only way we can get rid of them is keeping our mind, focusing our mind, and believing everything that God has, you know, asked us to do. So only God can take our yesterday and make it a better tomorrow. Praise the Lord. He is the only one that can turn our mess to be a miracle. Praise the Lord. But another scripture I want to read that has something to do with these three ministries is Hebrews 13:3. We are told to remember those who are in prison. Remember them as if you were there. As if you were their fellow prisoner. I remember those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body and subject to physical suffering. He said, remember them, because they are part of us. We are the same body. If I'm to slap a little child, give a little child a big slap, obviously he can't slap me back because he knows that I'm bigger than he is or she is. But what she will do is she start crying. But remember, I didn't slap her eyes. I only slapped her cheek. So her eyes is telling that what happened to the cheek disheartened. The only expression someone can notice and ask him what is wrong is when he sees the tears coming from his eyes. He says, "Well, someone slapped me." Because the eyes and the cheek are together. Just the same way, those people that are in the prison, those people that are being persecuted, as they are being persecuted, understand that they are part of us and that it is our responsibility to help them the much we can. That part of you is suffering. Not somebody else. It's part of you that is suffering. So how can we remember them? We can visit them. We can pray for them. Or we can give them gifts. This is our own part, our own responsibility to show that we care. I say, if you love someone, you will graciously want to give gifts for the well-being of that person. Once you love someone, all you think about is the well-being of that person. Because love leads us to do what is best for others. Praise the Lord. John 3:16, this is a scripture we know very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only reason God sacrificed his only begotten Son to the world that does not deserve to be loved is because of the love he has for the entire human race. It's just for the love. That's the only reason, because we didn't love him. He said, "Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us." But he loved us, and he gave us his best. And he expects us to do the same to others. Every gift God has given us is because of his love for us, not because we love him. Let's look at John 13, 34 to 35. Christ said, "I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another." Why did Jesus say it's a new commandment? Why is it a new commandment? We'll be hearing about love in the Old Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. But Jesus is saying here, this is a new commandment. It is not new in the sense that you just started now, but it is new on the expression of what he was trying to convey to his disciples. It says, 35, by this, by what? By this, by loving one another, everyone we know that you are my disciples. If you have love and unselfish concern for one another. Now, God is not asking us to love, but rather he's telling us to love. He's demanding, it's a demand that you must love. He's not asking, but telling us to love one another. It's a commandment. Say, he is commanding us to love one another because love will make you to care and give to people. In essence, what Jesus is saying is that he wants us to promote him. You know how sales people promote their product? They bring out the positive aspect of those products. They project it to you and you begin to imagine the goodness of that product. So Christ is saying, I want you to promote me. And the way you promote me is this. when people's, I want you to show people how much you love yourself. It's not about what you do to them or what you do for them. It's about what they see you do for yourselves. You know one thing, as believers, the world is watching us. They want to see how much you love yourself, because you know why some of these children, why they join gang, is because they are not being loved by where they're supposed to be loved. So they find love somewhere else, because love what? Love attracts. So they move to that place where they can find love. So Christ is saying that when they see us loving ourselves, then they themselves will now recognize that we are his disciples. These are disciples of Christ. And then our love for one another will now attract them to join us. I remember when I was doing my youth service, I wasn't born again, but the guy I served was born again Christian. In short, he made me not to be born again. Because even the brothers and sisters that were serving under him, they were all complaining. They were coming to me. I was an unbeliever because this man was so wicked. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I think I want to show this movie, and then, oh my goodness. Let me quickly read this. James 2:15-16. Then we'll watch the movie. This, you know, it says, if a brother or a sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, with my blessings, keep warm and feed yourselves, but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? As no pastor just quoted this question. Giving is part of God's attribute, and he wants us to imitate him in giving. I heard about a story of an orphan that was sleeping on the street. So this boy, there's a bakery shop close to where, you know, he stays. So every morning he wakes up, he goes to that bakery store and will be smelling the aroma, the sweet aroma of those, bread and cookies and whatever they're making there. He has never tasted them. Or he derives his joy from perceiving those aroma. So one day, a gentleman walked into that store and came out with a bag full of bread, cookies, cakes, and handed it over to him. So this boy, Kujad, he was surprised. He opened it and kept looking at it. And so the man walked away. So when he came to his senses, he saw the man afar, and then he ran after him. And then he said, excuse me, sir, are you God? And the man hugged him. And do you know why he asked that question? Because nobody has ever given him something. But right in his mind, he knows that only God can give. But God used that man to show this little boy that there's a source that can also, you know, give to you. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what God wants us to do. I'm sorry I didn't get to actually to the main. All these things I'm saying is just introduction. So what? But when he comes next Sunday, boy, you'll be amazed. Praise the Lord. Brother Fam, can we? The video. It's not working. Okay, if it's not working, then I'll continue. So, okay, let's continue. So God's love is revealed. When I took time to read the Old Testament. I mean, Genesis chapter 1. And then I began to see the love of God for us. Much as the Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us when we were yet sinners, that he died for us. Yes. But in creation, my goodness, in creation, God demonstrated his love for mankind. Everything about creation, preparation, every preparation God made was for man. When he called light into existence, he said, let there be light. It wasn't for God, because God is light. God didn't need light. He called that light into existence for us to enjoy. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 to 30. It says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness, not physical, but spiritual. So spiritually, we are like God. And morally, we're supposed to be like him, because that's what he wants us to be moral agent, to have feelings, to think about others. Not selfish thought. But a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete. It is some. He said, let them have complete authority. God has given us authority over the fish, over the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth. And over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created them. He created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. There's a blessing there. Granting them certain authority and said to them, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth and subjugate it, putting it under your power. So everything under our power. That's love. That's caring. And rule over, dominate the fish and the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. That's authority God has given to man because of the love, because of his care. When he created us with love. So God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be for you. And to all the animals on the earth, and every bird of the air, and to everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is a breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. He commanded it. So isn't it amazing? Have you ever thought that when God created Adam and Eve and put them in that beautiful garden of Eden, have you ever thought that those trees, the trees God gave to them for food, are the same trees we are enjoying today? God did not add, he did not remove. It's the same tree that we are eating from. God cannot say, let's say, like Pastor Money wants to have another baby. And then God will say, well, you know, let us You know, we're in trouble. There's a problem. Because Pastor Emmanuel is having another baby. And then, you know, we don't have enough food to feed the baby. No. Because he says, as long as the earth remains, say what? Seed time and harvest time will never cease. So all he would do is go there. If he wants a mango tree, he gets a mango seed from the garden of Eden and plant it. And he gets his own mango tree. So it's the same thing. That is what we are enjoying. So God has already planned everything for mankind. He doesn't want us to suffer. He has provided everything for us. He said, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. He said, I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So what else do we need? God has given us all we need to bless others. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because currently the world population is 7.5 billion. So no matter how much the world population increases, God has already made ample provision of food and resources for the human race. Praise the Lord. And that's why he asked us this question. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Amplified. Now that he has given us everything, now that you have ample supply of things, he says, for who regards you as superior? So why do you feel that you are superior? Why do you, because of the money you have, because of the wealth you have, because of your position, why do you feel that you are superior? That's what he's asking us. Why do you feel that you are superior? Or what sets you apart as special? Why do you think you are special? Some of us feel that we are special, we are too special. So why do you feel that way? So what do you have that you did not receive? Because he has provided everything. So what do you have that you did not receive? Everything has been made available for us by him. And if in fact you received it from God or someone else, why do you boast? As if you had not received it, but had gained it by yourself. I don't know, sometimes you hear people say, well, my sweat, I worked hard for it. I worked hard for it, so I'm going to spend it the way I want. You know, just like that, the foolish man, the rich foolish man, I wait and cultivate it, because you say, oh, my God, I've had everything. So what am I going to do with all this? Instead of giving them out to people, he said, I'm going to build a bigger this thing, a bigger bag to contain them. And the Lord said, you foolish man, today you will die. And who will gain all those things? You will lose those things. So listen to this, church. See, when we refuse to give, we are telling the world that we don't have enough to support ourselves. That's what it means. When you refuse to give, when you have, I'm not saying that if you don't have, when you have and you refuse to give, you are telling the world that you don't have enough to support you. So we must hold on to what little we have. You hold on to it. To what little you have. You see, God later revealed to Abraham about giving and also encouraged the people of Israel to give. And I'm going to read this last scripture, then talk about it, then I stop. Hebrews 7:1-2 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Most High God, met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all the spoil he is. First of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. So we are told that Abraham gave him 10% I don't know how Abraham had that knowledge of giving. It has to be by divine revelation. Because remember, this guy was a heathen. But he has learned how to give. He paid tithe. I'm going to talk a little bit about it, because some people, when you tell them about paying tithe, they'll tell that it's thing of the Old Testament. When you read this chapter very well down, it will tell that Melchizedek is a priest forever. It's a priest forever. And Jesus Christ is a priest forever. Praise the Lord. And they said, this Melchizedek, who was a priest, or who is a priest forever, that Abraham paid tithe to him. And then the Bible says he resembles, he's not to, but he resembles the Son of God. So if this man, who is a priest that lives forever, and who resembles the Son of God, Abraham paid tithe to him, how much more we? Because this man is not a priest for Old Testament. He's a priest for Old Testament and for New Testament, because he's a priest forever. So the tithe Abraham paid is the same tithe where we are supposed to pay. Because Jesus Christ lives forever. He's a priest forever. And then every time we say, the blessings of Abraham. I am blessed in the money. I am blessed. You won't take one. No. You won't take money. You want to take both, money and the evening. And then I want you to pay tithe that Abraham paid. Because it says all the promises of Abraham, they are ours. Praise the Lord. My time is up.